This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. Got a short version of Sports Talk tonight because at 5:30 we're going to swing over to the SEC tournament where LSU men's basketball, they will play Mississippi State. At 4:20 this afternoon, Blake Ruffino will join us, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, talking about LSU spring football. Well, I guess it's spring baseball, too, as they would say, and a little bit of the basketball version of it. And then at 5:10, Jen Hale from Fox Sports, NFL sideline reporter, will be here to talk about signings across the NFL and also the Saints. Before we start talking NFL stuff, Charlie, last night again, 127-120, the Pels win. But what an unbelievable performance for the time that he played. Zion Williamson, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, and he was 8 for 13 on that court. Man, again, we talked about this yesterday, how they use him. Man, again, you got to use some common sense when you play him at home and away. But when he is on that court, he is something special. We said this over and over again, just hopefully that, you know, keep him healthy and have him rolling, keep everybody else healthy for next year. This season's sort of a lost cause. But again, such an impressive performance last night in beating the Clippers 127-120. And guess who carried him on it back? It was Zion.
It's been the story, man. I mean, the guy keeps showing up every single time that he's on the floor. And, you know, you can criticize his lack of availability, but since coming back from that hamstring injury, the way that they've been using him, those kind of limited spurts, they're not playing him back-to-backs, he's remained healthy, he's in good shape, and when he's on the floor, he is prime time.
Unbelievable.
Mike, he's unbelievable. Second career triple-double, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. They needed all of it last night, Mike. The Pelicans got off to a great start in that game. They held like a 10-point lead at halftime, and you know, when Steve and I were getting off the air last night at around 8 o'clock, I was just like, we'll see, you know, what happens in the third quarter. And the start of the third quarter was like deja vu with that game against Memphis and the game last Thursday against Houston where the Clippers just start bludgeoning the Pelicans. You're thinking, oh, great, here it comes again. But then the Pelicans fought back. Yes, they gave up 39 points in that frame, but they scored 37, Mike. And they needed every single minute that Zion was on the floor to be able to hold off the Clippers' comeback attempt and pick up that 7-point win this past night. Zion's fantastic, man. Like,
and you can hear it in his voice. Man, I got some confidence. Charlie, you didn't hear that before. There was a little trepidation there that, man, I wasn't quite sure. He knew how good he was, but he had to prove it. Kind of almost to himself, because I guarantee you the guy that he has to answer to more than anybody is himself. And I think you see the maturing of Zion Williamson in front of your very eyes and talk with confidence, almost like that's what I wanted to see from him from day one. But okay, you got to understand who you're dealing with at that age, too.
He's so unique, Mike. And you know, listening to Graf and JD and then also watching the game, man, officials don't know what they're doing with the kid. He gets hacked all the time. Like, if we're talking about, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or some of these guards that will get all these touch fouls, Zion Williamson, if he was getting that type of whistle, should be shooting 20 free throws a game. I'm just being honest with you. Like, nobody can guard him. Nobody can stop the guy when he's playing like this. And Zion, after the game, had a couple really interesting quotes. He was asked if he's playing the most complete basketball of his career so far. He said, quote, "I don't know if that's really up for me to decide. I will say, though, this is the best I felt offensively and defensively," end quote.
I'm going to answer for him. Yes.
Well, that's what we keep hearing as well, and you see it. You know, the defensive development, he's been a lot more active on that end. He's in shape. You can obviously see that. But offensively, he's just a wrecking ball, Mike. He's unstoppable when he wants to put his head down and get into the paint. Another quote, he was talked about, you know, this season and how it's gone. You're now sitting it with an 18-48 record. He said, quote, "We talked about it as a team. The season hasn't gone the way we wanted it to, but that doesn't mean we can't build it into something next year, build into better habits. And when the summer comes, we stick together. And by the time next season starts, we're locked in," end quote. That was the quote that I used for the Sports Flash today, Mike. And I thought it was very telling about his mentality. You know, he's getting a lot of praise from national media folks, unless you're Shaq, who's just a hater.
I don't think Shaq is watching this entire game.
I don't think he watched a minute of Zion's performance.
I think he's just
night.
Looking at a stat sheet and says, well, 22 points isn't impressive. Look at the amount of minutes he played.
But generally speaking, 33 minutes is kind of big for what Zion's been playing
that's
recently.
That's stretched a rubber band for Zion.
But they needed every minute of it, Mike, especially in the second half. My general point is that he's getting a lot of credit from national media now for continuing his strong play despite the Pelicans kind of being out of it. And that's exactly what you want to see. Yes, they're out of the play-in race. If they would have lost last night, I think they would have been mathematically eliminated from the play-in. But they're out of the play-in, they're out of the playoff race, everything like that. But you're still seeing this guy go out there and give 100% effort every single minute that he's on the floor. And that's all you need to see from your star player.
Okay, in some of the NFL news, this happened late last night, but Joey Bosa, I think he surprised some people. Most people thought he'd either reunite with his brother in San Francisco or maybe Miami. That was a team hot after him. He signs a one-year, $12.6 million deal to go to Buffalo. And again, every year Buffalo signals out a player they think can make a difference when everything is on the line when they play the Chiefs. Maybe Joey can stay healthy and be that guy. But Joey Bosa on a one-year deal, headed to Buffalo. Also today, Marquez Valdes-Scantling played the best football of his career. I mean, he wasn't dropping anything with the Saints, and he had been so inconsistent. And I saw that with Valdes-Scantling from high school, college, early on in the NFL. He caught everything with the Saints. He really was a good pickup for them late. He signs a one-year deal and sort of reunites himself with Clint Kubiak in Seattle. And then this afternoon, this didn't surprise me. Evan Engram, two-year deal with the Denver Broncos, and he'll play for Sean Payton. Coach Payton had talked about a joker piece
right. That
he wanted to add. Evan is that type of player. He can play the H-back. He can play in the slot. You can move him off the line of scrimmage. Last year I saw in Jacksonville, they even had him playing wideout. He played the Y position. So 2 years, $23 million for Evan Engram, 16.5. And I do know this. When he came out in 2017, Sean really liked him and thought he might last into the end of round one when the Saints had that final pick. It ended up being Ryan Ramczyk, who was a tremendous player
right. When
he was healthy. But I know he really liked Engram. And now he's got him with the Broncos.
It's interesting to think about what the Broncos are going to do with that first pick, Mike. They've added a lot of defense kind of early on, you know, with Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga from the 49ers. But now you're wondering, with the 20th overall pick, I projected them taking Colston Loveland. However, maybe they look more towards wide receiver and find that kind of wide receiver,
too. But Coach Payton has talked about, I think we're good at receiving. Now, maybe he's lying, because sometimes, you know, yeah. You got to understand when Sean tells you something, it's a nod, nod, wink, wink about what he wants and what he's looking at, because I've been through that before with him. But I think the biggest need for them would be running back. But do you pick a running back in the middle of round one?
Not in this draft, Mike. I think I would wait for day two and then grab a running back there.
I would grab two of them because I can get two of them now that'll really help my football team. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. And we'll be joined by Blake Ruffino covering the LSU Tigers right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I'll throw the football questions out first, and then we'll get to baseball and basketball. But from what you've seen, or maybe what you haven't seen from the spring drills, I was looking at the offensive line setup, the first team unit. Man, this looked like the exact sort of same unit that started against Baylor. When you look at Tyree Adams and Weston Davis at the tackles, DJ Chester's playing center. Paul Mabinga is playing right guard, Bo Bordelon, left guard. And so, it almost looks like the exact same lineup. Now, I know they're waiting on Thompson to get cleared because I think he's got a little bit more work to do academically to finish at Northwestern. Is that the reason why he's not there?
Yeah, Mike, they're on quarter system, so he graduates. Hold on, I got the date. Hold on. He graduates Saturday. So I'm assuming, Mike, he'll be in here next week at some point.
When you look at spring drills, I think that's certainly everybody wants to sort of take a look at the beef up front, and you got to build up both sides because there's a talent and then talent depth. You're always going to lose guys up front. What's the area that concerns you other than, say, offensive and defensive line? Because, you know, we can rule that. We always got concerns about that, you and I. But other than the line of scrimmage, what else is the major concern for you on LSU in the spring?
Just to quickly add, Mike, to your point on the O-line, Brian Kelly did say today a little that he did confirm that he thought DJ would move to guard, DJ Chester, so that'll be interesting to see what happens. Does Braylon Moore move in there? I think that that's all going to change, you know, sometime next week. Mike, today for me, it's got to be safety. I don't think it was pretty. I don't think it was pretty at all. I just feel like they're just getting out-athleted. I don't know how else to really put it. I don't want to say that they just don't have guys because, Mike, it got bad today. I mean, in the brief period that they ran one-on-ones or a brief 7-on-7, it just – I mean, I get it. Chris Hilton, Berrien Brown, who, by the way, Berrien Brown, holy moly. I mean, I get that there's a lot of speed, but, Mike, I just don't – I don't know if the guys that are there right now are ready. And so hopefully they can get them ready. But safety for me has got to be the biggest concern from a tackling standpoint. But even Mike today, I mean, like, even from a coverage standpoint, man, I mean, it's not as if – I mean, they're running quarters, okay, where it was the defense, and then you're going four verts. And so the linebackers sit because Bauer Sharp's on a stick or a quick slant, whatever you want to – whatever he was running, I couldn't really tell. And they're just getting beaten deep. And, Mike, and they're in quarters coverage. And I think, for me, that just goes to show, I think, a little bit some of the things that they've been working on at that position. Lance Guidry was working with the star position. I do think that that was a little bit interesting with Charles Ross. But overall, Mike, I think it's got to be safety for me, just considering how it was played last year and then going out there today. It's like, Mike, if you have a concern about something and you go back out there 6 months later or 5 months later and it's still a concern for you, I mean, I don't know what to say, but that's probably the position group that worries me the most.
And we'll swing it to baseball now with Jared Jones. And we know he's taken a lot of walks this year, but I got a feeling he's going to be taking quite a few walks. I mean, you just see that swing, and it's like, holy moly. Now, we'll see how that transfers when you start in SEC play, but We continually bring his name up because, you know what, he's been impressive. Every time you watch him swing the bat.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Mike? A lot of people say that we need somebody behind him to protect him, like Danny Dickinson, who's been really good. But, Mike, what I think is actually in this 12-game winning streak, what I really think has been helping is more of Curiel in front of him. Because what are you going to do? Curiel leads the SEC in walks at the current moment with 20-plus. So if you pitch around Jared Jones, well, then you're going to have no outs, two guys on. And you have a guy in Curiel who, look, in two of the last five games got on base and, like, both times, five times apiece in those two games. Then he did what he did last night where he just absolutely torched the ball. And, by the way, Xavier's played, Mike, think about this, the number one strength of schedule in the country. They have the number two RPI in the country. They played a lot of tough teams. They played them somewhat variably close. I mean, look, they did get swept by Vandy. But, like, even that Saturday game, it's 1-1 going in the top of the ninth on Saturday. So I think that even from Jared Jones, Curiel's ability, Mike, the guy that I think that's got the best decisions or makes the best decisions at the plate since Dylan Cruz on this team has been Curiel. The walks are there. The swings that he does not take on balls, he leads LSU in that. So even with Jared Jones, and I think, Mike, that has been why teams have had to throw at him, and he's been absolutely tattooing the baseball. And then you do have Dickinson behind him, but he's been really hot. And Mike, they're going to go as he goes in the top of that lineup. But even having Stanfield at the nine hole to when it goes back around, I mean, this team presents a lot of problems for a lot of teams. Now, again, I don't know what you see with Missouri this weekend, but like you said, going into SEC play is going to be challenging.
Before we get into Mizzou, I wanted to ask you, Blake, it feels like LSU's starting to find their third baseman. And Tanner Reeves, he hits the grand slam this past night. But since basically the turn of the calendar to March, he's seen about two-thirds of his at-bats. Like, he's starting to get a lot more playing time at the hot corner. And he's been really solid, especially at the plate, over the last five games, going 7-14, five runs, two doubles, two homers, including that grand slam from last night, and eight RBI. He's been really, really solid for LSU. I know that Michael Braswell kind of started out with that role, but, I mean, you got to play the best player, and it seems like Tanner Reeves is looking to take that spot.
Yeah, you know, he does worry me at third. I mean, this is, you know, he's had five assists, but he's also had three errors in that time frame. And look, I mean, you're replacing somebody in Braswell who's been playing, ironically, good defensively, with a guy that's at the plate, like you said, I mean, who's been scorching hot. I mean, you got to play him, right? I mean, and even when you're talking about the seven outs that they had and the 7-14, so you could walk through them. What were they? Well, he had two line drives into center field that got caught. One of them was a 107 off the bat. That's ridiculous. Then he hits a line drive into right field. So even when he's coming up and he's getting out, it's the way that his outs, he's got loud, loud, loud outs, right? And so, look, he's killing the ball. I mean, his bat speed is ridiculous. And that's what we were just talking about just a second ago. I mean, the simple fact that you have an eight-hole, that's your eight-hole hitter. I mean, like, that is ridiculous. So, I mean, that to me, he's definitely put a stamp on it. And think about this, too. They have not changed the lineup. Other than righty-lefty matchups here and there and Ethan Fry coming in, they haven't changed anything. I mean, it's been the exact same. So, you got it going into SEC play, and I think Tanner Reeves, unless you face a lefty, which, I mean, look, I think he's 0-3 against lefties this year, not a lot of sample size, but, I mean, look, he's killing the baseball right now.
Yeah, and in the bottom half of the lineup as well, Jade talked about it last night. Jake Brown going 3-3 last night. He's been, you know, quietly very good this year, and we always focus on the top five because it's you have Derek Curiel and you have Jared Jones, you have Daniel Dickinson and Josh Pearson and Steven Milam, and that's been really solidified up top, as you mentioned, at the bottom, kind of with the Reeves and Stanfield kind of pushing over to that top of the lineup, and that's why you get 17 runs in three innings this past night. But Jake Brown has been really quietly solid, and Jay talked about it post game where he mentioned he likes the quote unquote nobodies hitting six, because if you overlook them, then all of a sudden you start to get some guys on base, and then you get into that sort of swing at the bottom end of the lineup into the top half. So, you know, your evaluation of Jake Brown and what you've seen from him so far.
Just overall solid, just an overall great player. I mean, to your point, I mean, like, he came into the game yesterday as an example. I mean, he's hitting over 350. I think he's hitting 375 now. I mean, you got Tanner Reeves who's hitting over 300. And think about this, in this 12-game win streak that you're on, let's run through – I mean, you could run through the Kansas State game. How did that go on? Well, Pearson comes in late in that order, right? Then you had Stanfield that got the single right before that. Then he steals. Then the line drive gets him to third, right? I mean, even Hernandez, too. I mean, I do think Hernandez will pick it up some as it goes on. I do think that even he will pick it up. But Brown has kind of been that solidifier where, look, you feel like you're getting a breath when you go back to the bottom lineup, but you're not. I mean, he's been as solid as anybody in any of these games. I do think, for me, is with Jake Brown, it's, you know, look, he hadn't hit a home run. I mean, like, people always get enamored by the power. The thing with me is he struck out two times in 40 and 50-plus plate appearances. That, to me, is more ridiculous than anything. So the outs, he's still putting the ball in play. He's not striking out. He's really good to contact. And that, for me, has been where he's been really good. Now, again, you're going into SEC play, but he's been absolutely ridiculous. He's got a 452 or 450 on-base percentage. I mean, it's been absolutely ridiculous.
Blake, as you mentioned, going into SEC play this week, and you know, most people that we've had on have talked about Missouri being the worst team in the SEC. Now, that, I mean, you look at how they rank with 12 in the top 25, so that's really not a bad thing to be. But kind of give us a little bit of a scouting breakdown of Missouri if you've seen them, and what could give LSU some trouble this weekend?
Oof. Mike, there only way LSU has problems is if they create their own problems. Missouri is not good. I mean, they're not. Look, this is baseball, and anything can happen. So if you lose one game this weekend, don't obviously and clearly don't freak out. But this team, Mike, they're last in the SEC in ERA. They're last in the SEC in batting average. They're last in the SEC in on-base percentage. They're last in the SEC in home runs. They're last in the SEC in extra base hits. I mean, that's how bad they've been. They're dead last. They're 16th in every single category. But, Mike, you know, they're, Missouri, to me, and we'll talk about, like, on our show tomorrow, a pretty big dive on them. They're like me on a diet around brownies. It ain't gonna work, right? It gets to a point where, Mike, again, it's baseball and anything can happen, okay? And I'm not saying that it can't. But you got to go out there and play your game, and then you'll be fine. Look, Mike, they went into a weekend where they played three different SWAC opponents. No disrespect to the SWAC. They lost 2 of 3, right? And that's the part where I'm like, man, this is getting really bad. They even admitted that they didn't, you know, their administration admitted on, like, they had not put a lot of resources into baseball. And, Mike, they're that bad. I mean, again, anything can happen, but I just don't I really feel like you need to go in here expecting a sweep. If again, you can beat yourself, and you can go in there thinking that if you're a player too. But I don't know where they scare me. They don't scare me on the mound. They don't necessarily scare me at the plate. There's nothing they can do, and I love Tierg to death. Their head coach, he was at Southern. I just don't know if they have enough to even take one this weekend. They have been that bad. Now again, crazier things have happened. I mean, literally. We saw the year that we won the national championship, LSU won the national championship. Tulane start off as bad as they did. Then they go in there, they win the tournament, and then, look, they hit schemes better than anybody on that Friday night.
Sure, so did.
Anything can happen, but they have been really bad to start off the non-conference.
Blake, Mark Etheridge for D1 Baseball came on here with us a couple days ago. I think it was Monday. It was right before the Xavier game because we got a preview of it from him. And he mentioned that in SEC play, like, or in SEC just in general, there's 15 teams with postseason aspirations, and then there's Mizzou. Like, you have the 12 teams in the top 25, and then even outside of the top 25, you still have some good teams that are going to be trying to position themselves to make it to regional play. Mizzou's just not in that number. But my question for you, final question, kind of entering SEC play, the weekend rotation, where you have Cade Anderson on Fridays, Anthony Ianson, who got off to a slow start last week and then just mowed down North Alabama for six straight innings with 15 strikeouts, and then Chase Shores, you know, it feels pretty solidified entering SEC play. Connor Ware's kind of, I don't want to say, had a couple of tough showings recently. William Schmidt, I think, is going to be a bullpen piece kind of early on the weekends. That's why he only pitched one inning last night in SEC play. So I just want to get your thoughts on the strength of, you know, the rotation in your eyes entering conference play.
Yeah, inconsistent for me. I mean, like, at least the way that I see it, either they're dominating, like legitimately dominating. I mean, you can go back to Nebraska and Kansas State. Either they're dominating through three or four innings, or the doors are falling off, right? And, I mean, I do love with Anthony Ianson, like this past Saturday, he gets rocked around a little bit, okay, and then he comes back and he strikes out, what, 13 because he'd already had two strikeouts. I mean, I don't think that the guy's pulse, like, raises any. You know, but at the same time, I mean, like, Shores comes in on Sunday. He has a little bit of inconsistency, throwing some strikes. I'm really interested to see when now you're getting into conference play, you know, like, hey, how does that – do you pick that up any – does that get any better? I mean, you've gotten touched a little, okay? Now you've been able to, outslug some of these teams, but, like, it almost manifested itself against Kansas State. It almost manifested itself – well, it did manifest itself a little – in Omaha, when you just couldn't throw strikes in that fifth inning. So, look, I like what they've done through three, four, five innings. It's been when you need to lock down and get a big out, big couple of outs there in the fifth and sixth inning, where I do think that they've had some struggles, but they've been solid. I would like to see a little bit more consistency from them. And I know, look, you can't have everything perfect, but I mean, it's just, you know, personally for me, I got to see a little bit more consistency.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us. Don't break Charlie's heart.
No problem. Tell
me that LSU got a chance tonight against Mississippi State, because, you know, Charlie, man, it'll break his heart if they don't win tonight.
Listen, man, the first time they played, it was pretty tight.
No, they did play
when
them
they played
a good game.
A couple weeks ago, it was March 1st, LSU was right there with Mississippi State in the first half. But the second half, Josh Hubbard, 30-point performance, he kind of outdueled Cam Carter, and they pulled away.
Well, here's the thing. LSU's leading at every damn halftime. I take LSU at the half every time, okay? Okay, because that's
you can bet on that.
I paid my mortgage this month.
You can bet.
But
you can't bet on it.
And look, we're going to be live during it, so they're probably going to win. That's what normally happens, you know? I'm sorry. Come on now. Take them in the first half. They're the best first half team in the SEC. They lead every time going into the half.
Thank you, Blake. I'm on the line right now, ready to place that bet
there
as soon as we go to the break. Thank you, Blake. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See y'all later.
Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network. We're back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTia along with Charlie Long. Let's go to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, in the huddle with Mike, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Hey, look, good basketball. Blake Ruffino. Hey, LSU basketball tonight, SEC tournament. And look, Will Wade's right now on ESPN2. He's one game away from the big dance. They're playing Lamar McNeese State. I've heard rumors. I don't know if y'all heard this, Charlie and Mike.
Yes.
NC State is looking. Yes. NC State's looking hard at trying to poach Will Wade. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of suitors for his services, especially if he makes it to the big dance again. And look, I wanted to point, you know, put a spotlight again on what Master P's doing at UNO. He was at the Pelicans game the other night, Mike and Charlie. He was courtside, him and his entourage, wearing UNO gear. I mean, how often do you see that? People wearing UNO gear in public. And they got so many alumni here, getting pictures, talking to Gail Benson. You could check his social media posts. He's reaching out to everyone, UNO alumni, Ellen DeGeneres, Tim Floyd, former coaches, former players, Irvin Johnson, but he specifically was talking to Gail Benson about the need to possibly donate. And he's got his feet on the ground with this. And I want to get your take on this. He's not just, it wasn't just a photo op. He really is. Again, if you check his social media posts out, Mike and Charlie, it's all about UNO and saving UNO from their budget crunch and what he's going to do to transform the basketball program.
Well, I wish him well. I know his heart is into this, I know he really wants to help UNO out, the athletic program, and especially in basketball. And, you know, there is money out there. Now, again, sometimes you got to knock on the right door to get that money. And I think Percy, Master P, he'll be able to do that and really help out UNO basketball. And so I'm all for it. I know he is both feet in about trying to help the privateer basketball program and also to UNO itself, because I do think athletics do have something. It's a pride thing and bringing stuff to the university. And I know he wants the best for UNO at this stage. Charlie, I just think right now, financially, they're kind of treading water and have been for years. And so you got to dig your way out of this if you're going to stay afloat and continue to play athletics at UNO.
They're in a bad spot, Mike, but I feel like Master P kind of realized that when he was taking the job. So we'll see what he's able to accomplish there. I'm with Jimmy. I'm hoping that he kind of resurrects that program and kind of gets more NIL funds running through it and they can kind of stabilize, so to speak, because shaky grounds is kind of an understatement with UNO athletics right now.
Yeah, it's more than shaky ground, and it's been like that for a while.
Mike, real quick, I mean, Jimmy also brought it up, McNeese versus Lamar. Lamar last night, I saw the back end of it against Nichols. Nichols had a shot.
I'll be damned.
Oh, man, it was so unfortunate. I would have loved to see Nichols versus McNeese in this Southland
and
Conference
Championship.
You know,
they did beat them in Thibodaux this year.
So right now, it's halftime of this game. It's on ESPN2 for anyone that's interested. McNeese currently leads Lamar 33-30. It is a very, very tight game. They were like 9.5-point favorites, maybe even heavier than that entering the matchup. But, you know, Lamar's really sticking right there with McNeese. We'll see if Will Wade and the Cowboys can get back to the NCAA tournament.
Man, the one thing with Will, and I know he's not on the Christmas list for you, Charlie, but every time I see him, before he even tells me hello, he always will say, player procurement. And he got the big smile. I know exactly right what he means. Listen, he's been a tremendous recruiter. And he's really done a lot for McNeese basketball to come in there. And he came on the show even before he got introduced at McNeese. Charlie asked him the question, what's your goal? He said, ain't no goal. We're going to win the Southland Conference in my first year.
And he backed it up.
And he backed it up. Now he's done it twice. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing it up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of RU Sirius Sports Network, coming on talking LSU basketball, baseball, and spring football at 5:10 this afternoon. We'll have on with us from Fox Sports, their NFL sideline reporter, Jen Hale, talking about Saints and NFL free agency. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Also, let me add, at 5:30 tonight, LSU men's basketball versus Mississippi State. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody at around 5:30, SEC tournament as LSU will play Mississippi State, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Fox Sports, NFL sideline reporter Jen Hale. Jen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for having me. Happy free agency.
Yeah. How about that? Before we get into that, I'll tell you something. You'd like this. I have a friend of mine. He's from New York. He's about 10 years older than me. And he saw Zion, and he's watched him the last few games. And he was like, Mike, watching Zion is like watching a young Joe Namath throw a ball. People did it before, but not like Joe could. And he said, watching Zion, you know, with a basketball, it's like you know you're seeing something special. Now, he said, listen, as far as nightlife, ain't nobody can beat Joe for that. I mean, Joe's on the top rung. And no matter what Zion does, he can't catch up Namath on that part.
Hopefully he doesn't want to.
Joe's deal always was, and we had an interview with him, and Joe was, man, I survived New York. I said, playing? He said, no, nightlife. So that was typical Joe. But your thoughts on Zion, and you see the maturity with him, and he's in the best shape of his career, and we're watching it in front of our very eyes.
Yeah, he's absolutely one of one. And when he's in the type of shape he is now, you're going to see that the results of that one of one mentality and also ability. Just leaps and bounds. Look, it's been an abysmal year for the Pelicans because of injuries. It's unreal. Hopefully this means, though, that they're going to be able to find a silver lining, get a great draft pick, and have a sensational season next year. And the fact that the departure of Brandon Ingram, which I was worried about, I wanted to know how the locker room would react, how that would affect the team and the chemistry. Zion's really been stepping up as a leader, and I've been very pleased to see that, because if he can continue on the physical journey he's on in terms of keeping his body right, his natural physical ability is unbelievable. He's got to worry about keeping his head right, keeping his head in the game, being locked into the things he needs to be doing, showing up not on time but early, staying late, setting the tone for these other players. And right now he's really buying into that. And if that can carry over into next season, I think you're going to see some really fantastic results on the hardwood from that.
Jen, last night after the game in Zion Williamson's press conference, he was asked if this is the most complete basketball that he's playing in his career. And he's kind of bashful about it. You know, he said, I don't know if that's really up for me to decide. But then he added, I will say that this is the best I felt offensively and defensively. And every single time we've talked with or heard from Willie or Griff or anyone that has to evaluate Zion Williamson's play on the floor, they always bring up the defensive intensity that he's been playing with. And it goes back to, you know, he's in shape. He's playing. He's probably in the best shape of his career. But I wanted to ask you, because I asked this to Mike earlier, we kind of went a little bit back and forth. Is this the best that we've seen Zion Williamson in his 6 years in New Orleans?
It's definitely the best shape of his professional career. Absolutely. No doubt about that, Charlie. And look, defense takes effort. That's what defense is, right? It's hustle. It's effort. It's getting back. It's the want to. And right now, Zion has the want to. So going back to what I said earlier about staying mentally locked in, that's part of it. It is a game nowadays. What sets apart the elite teams? You look at OKC. They play defense. They buy in. They don't have that traditional star mentality. SGA, he's their best player. Yeah, he's got swagger, but trust me, there's nothing that he feels like he's too good to do. He's gonna be showing up early. He's gonna be staying late. He's gonna be playing defense, and that's what Zion right now is buying into. So yes, I do think it's the most complete ball, and I think with the departure of Brandon Ingram, as much as it kills me, in some ways it's really been a good thing for Zion because their games didn't necessarily mesh, and because they both are such strong friends and wanted to support each other. They would defer to each other. I think they're going to be better apart than they were together. And I think it gives Zion the clear go-ahead to step into that leadership role and play his game and make this his team on the court.
Jen, I'll ask you about Justin Reed. Dutchtown High School. Now, I know Eric a lot better than I know Justin, but I think you covered Justin quite a bit with the Texans, because I remember you telling me something about that you were covering that and that Justin Reed in that game and everything. So your thoughts on the Saints picking up Justin Reed, who last couple years he's been with the Chiefs. Well, he's got two winning rings. He'll get a losing one, but he's got three rings. And I think of all the acquisitions and re-signings, this one to me is an impact signing for the Saints.
It's definitely a win. I really like this signing. So yeah, folks will know his brother, just like you, Mike, probably much better. Eric, a standout at LSU, and did a lot of impressive things in the NFL. And he really counseled Justin on how to take that to the next level. For instance, Justin choosing to play at Stanford, which is an incredibly intelligent player as well as physically gifted player. He's just been a real impact player for whoever he's been with, Texans first and now the Chiefs since 2022. And now this upcoming season, he'll be in the black and gold. I think that Super Bowl pedigree, having been there, having won and having experienced loss, is going to make him hungry. I think he's going to be a fantastic leader to step up. I can't wait to see him alongside Tyrann Mathieu on the field. I think it's going to be great. And I love also that the Saints were able to shore up Chase Young. You know, it's certainly salary cap hell over there for Mickey Loomis and the Saints. And I think this was a really good place to direct what little effort and energy they can, what little resources they can. I think Justin's going to make a real difference next season.
And my thing with Chase Young is he's 25 years old. If you're going to give a big contract, you can't give that to a 30, 31-year-old. Now, the quarterback situation, if you had the right one, yeah, I could see that. But in this spot here, this is a young man's game. You got to pay people in it when they're in their 20s. I think for Chase Young, my deal, and I don't know what kind of defense they're going to run. Norman Brandlin Staley has run this 3-4 alignment. My thing is, I want a position where I tell Chase Young, you see the guy taking a snap? Sick him. Go put him on his backside.
I love how you're thinking, but in this NFL, Mike, it is so difficult to find those efficient, good players. Look, the Saints, they had him on a one-year deal. They had him on a tryout. They feel like they saw what they needed to sign him to a three-year extension. And I will say I do think Chase had a rejuvenation with the Saints. I think he really likes playing in New Orleans. I think he's buying into what's happening here. And if he can stay healthy, if he hadn't had that torn ACL, if he hadn't had the injuries, I think it really would have been a different story for him early on. So I'm going to go with the confident stance on this and say This is going to be a rebirth for Chase, and we're going to see the best Chase Young over the next 3 years.
I hope so, Jen. Jim, we got basketball, so I got to cut you short. But, again, I want to thank you, first of all, for joining us. But for everything you do in the community, you always – spend a lot of time, a lot of effort. People don't realize, you know, don't know you, how much time you spend in your charity with Sideline Pass. So tell everybody if they would like to donate, how you can donate to Sideline Pass.
No, thanks, Mike. You've always been such an ardent supporter of ours, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We do scholarships for girls and holiday gifts for kids in foster care, group foster care homes and shelters, sidelinepass.org. Head over, check it out. Mike, thanks so much. And let's keep our eyes on Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Curious to see where those dominoes fall in the next few hours or days.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And you get to cover it up close and personal. That's really something. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate it. Jen Hale from...
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Jen.
All righty. Jen Hale from Fox Sports NFL sideline reporter. And she's broke new ground here. Being a sideline reporter from New Orleans, and she's done a fantastic job. We'll be back to finish it up here on Sports Talk right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on Sports Talk today, cutting it short because at 5:30, LSU men's basketball, they play Mississippi State. Charlie, you got an update on McNeese and Lamar in the Southland Conference.
Yeah, tournament. McNeese currently holds a 41-37 lead with about 11:44 left to go in the second half here, Mike. Very tight Southland Conference championship game over in Lake Charles, and we'll see if, you know, McNeese can kind of pull it out here. Lamar, as you mentioned off air, has got a really solid little team. We watched them play against Nichols last night, and Nichols had them, man.
How you lost?
They had them. They had them, but they couldn't close it out. So I was hoping for that all-Louisiana Southland Conference championship game. Instead, we're hoping McNeese can pull off the win.
I want to tell everybody tomorrow night the Pelicans play the Orlando Magic in the Smoothie King, and you can catch all that action right here on the Big 870. Pregame at 6:30, tip-off and call with Graf, making a call with the Pels as they play the Magic tomorrow night right here on the Big 870 WWL. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. My old buddy Scott Sanders will join us at 5:20. LSU baseball, we'll talk. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Everybody take care.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.